Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is White Sands National Monument Chief of Interpretation, Becky Burkhart. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You've been with the park how long?
I have been at White Sands for 5 years. It's been a great 5 years.
Where did you come from?
Before that, I was at Chamisal in El Paso for about a year and a half, and then at Grand Teton National Park up in Wyoming for a couple of years, and then also worked at Mesa Verde in Colorado.
So where are you originally from?
Arizona. Bounced around the West.
So as the Chief of Interpretation, what does that mean?
Chief of Interpretation, it's a great question. A lot of people think that we interpret from like English to Spanish or French to Portuguese, but how the Park Service defines interpretation is taking the science, all the great stuff the scientists are learning about White Sands National Monument. It's a huge laboratory for research. Well, not all of us are biologists or archaeologists or you name it, ologists. And so the job of the interpreter is to take that information from the scientist and share that with the visitors in a form that's understandable for somebody who's not a biologist or a geologist, for the layman, and really offer opportunities to connect and understand and appreciate and ultimately help protect this pretty amazing resource.
And have you had any problems in protecting this beautiful monument?
Well, there is always the common challenges, the frequent challenges of having the manpower to staff the monument and keep everything in place in the way we need to manage it. We get about 490,000 visitors a year, so that's just managing all those people out there. It's wonderful that we have so many visitors, but we have to clean up the trash and all that stuff and ensure the resources are not impacted by the human activities. So whether to make sure the plants aren't trampled and things like that. Thankfully, the dune field is actually a very resilient resource. You can walk on it and you leave footprints, but they blow away in the wind. So that is what makes White Sands such a great place to recreate. Kids can roll down the sand dunes, sled down the sand dunes, you can go hiking, and you're really not making an impact on the resource.
Let's have a little history about what is White Sands.
It is the world's largest gypsum dune field. At 275 square miles, it can be seen from space. So that's pretty amazing that the astronauts use White Sands National Monument, the gypsum dune field, as a landmark. It was set aside for protection in 1933 by Herbert Hoover, and it has been a great place to recreate and enjoy and study here in southern New Mexico since then.
Do a lot of the local people go there, or is it mostly visitors from out of the state?
It's about 50-50. We get about 50% of our visitors from around the world, from across the globe, and we get about 50% of our visitors from this local area, Las Cruces, El Paso, Alamogordo.
And a misconception that it's not sand, so it's gypsum. Tell us what gypsum is.
Well, gypsum is calcium sulfate, so it's a mineral. So sand can be anything that is smaller than 2 millimeters in size, which is about the thickness of a nickel, so pretty darn small. So sand can be glass sand, you can have lava sand, you can have coral sand or quartz sand. Most of us are familiar with beach sand, which is typically quartz. It's hot when you walk on it in the summertime, and you're doing the tap dance trying to walk to the water. But White Sands is unique because it's gypsum. And what makes it so unique, it is water soluble. So it's gypsum sand, and gypsum will dissolve in water like sugar in iced tea. So how did we get this big pile of sand out there? It's because of the unique geologic and geographic conditions here in the Tularosa Basin. We have a huge supply of gypsum, which was laid down long, long time ago, about 250 million years ago in the Permian Sea. That sea evaporated. We had some uplift that created the mountains like the San Andres and the Oregon Mountains. And then some of that gypsum raised up with the uplift. And today, rain and snow melt in the mountains bring that gypsum back into the lowest point in the Tularosa Basin, which is Lake Lucero. Then, when that water evaporates, it leaves behind the crystalline form of gypsum, which is called selenite. That selenite is very soft. It has the hardness of a fingernail. So you can scratch it, no problem. And it breaks down with wind and water, the freezing and thawing in the winter. As those crystals break down, they tumble across each other, they scratch each other, they get smaller and smaller and smaller until they're 2 millimeters in size, which is gypsum sand. So that's it in a nutshell, how white sands came to be and why it is so unique and why there are a lot of misconceptions. We think it's sand, like the beach sand, but it's not.
And you said it's water soluble. So what happens when it rains? Does it melt?
It doesn't really melt. It takes a little bit of time to dissolve it. But if you were to take a handful of that gypsum sand and put it in water, you could. It would dissolve over a little bit of time. So some of it does dissolve in the water, like in the rain and snow melt. Gypsum is brought down from the mountains in the rain. It dissolves into the water and is brought down lower. So it does melt. The good thing for us, though, is we have less than 10 inches of rain a year. So that's why the geologic and geographic conditions and weather conditions are perfect, and why gypsum dune fields are so rare. Gypsum is extremely common. You can find it all over the world. We use it in everything from tofu to wallboard. But it's in the rock form. It's not in the sand form. So the sand form is on the surface, and you have to have a very dry climate like we have here for it to exist in the sand form. And there's only two other gypsum dune fields, one in Cuatro Ciénegas, Mexico, which is our sister park. So we work collaboratively with our compañeros in Mexico.
Where in Mexico is it again?
It's in Cuatro Ciénegas, which is near Coahuila. I would say it's probably 3 hours from the border. So it's definitely still in the Chihuahuan Desert, has a very similar climate to what we have here, climate and geographic conditions, a basin surrounded by mountains. And then the other one is in Guadalupe Mountains.
Guadalupe Mountains is here close to El Paso.
Yes.
Well, now that you've been there 5 years, what is your biggest passion that you've had about the monument?
I would say my biggest passion is the science. The resource is amazing. I've had the opportunity, and I'd highly recommend for everybody to do this, is go out and backcountry camp. You have to hike in with all your belongings, all your water, food, sleeping gear, but sleeping out under the stars and looking at the Milky Way from laying on the sand dunes, it's pretty amazing. You feel like you could reach up and touch the Milky Way. So it's pretty phenomenal, the night sky. So in addition to the night sky, it's the science of white sands. We have world-class researchers conducting amazing studies out at the monument, and we're learning more about the animals, like the lizards, that have the ability to adapt. They have longer toes for running on the sand. They're lighter skinned. They're white instead of the brown, like the lizards you would find in the desert scrub community. NASA is conducting research out at the monument because the gypsum dune fields are very analogous to the gypsum dune fields on Mars. So studying these dune fields helps us understand more about the red planet, which is pretty phenomenal. And we also have a moth research study. So Dr. Eric Metzler, he's been working at White Sands for about 7 years, and he has discovered 15 new species of moth. Just at White Sands in a very small area, and this is new to science. So being able to find new species right here. We're not in the Amazon jungle. We're not in Papua New Guinea. We're here in southern New Mexico finding new species to science. And there's just an amazing amount of research that's coming out of the monument, everything from archaeology to how the dunes move to astronomy. You know, what is our connection to Mars and the gypsum dunes up there? So it is a really amazing, just learning something new every day. So
you talked about going out camping. Uh-huh. Are people allowed to overnight in the White Sands?
You can as a backcountry camper. So we do not have what we call front country camping. Going into a campground with sites, with restrooms and all of that developed campground, we don't have that. But we have backcountry camping, so you have to hike in, and we have a 1 mile loop that you can camp along, and there's 10 sites, and permits are required. You can get your permit in the visitor center, and you're assigned one of the 10 spots, and then you just bring everything you need, your sleeping bag, your tent, your food, water, and enjoy a wonderful night under the stars.
That's one of the great programs that you have. But along with that, there's several events that you have throughout, especially now in the summertime. Tell us about some of the events going on.
Oh, we got a lot of great events. Our popular Full Moon Night Summer Series, we have a great lineup. And on July 12th, so Saturday, July 12th at 8:30 p.m., we have Mariachi Fuego del Sol. They were formed in mid-2013. And they're dubbed the happiest mariachi in the Southwest. So we're really excited to have this group out under the full moon. And the program is free. So park entrance fees apply. It's $3 per person for anyone 16 years and older, and it's free for anyone 15 years and younger. That's the only fee associated with the night. So pay your park entrance fees or you use your park pass and come out and enjoy a great band under the full moon. So we have that on Saturday, July 12th. Coming up in August, we have a local favorite, Randy Granger, a Native American flutist, and he has played out at White Sands several times, and his music is just magical under the light of the full moon.
Very ethereal.
Yes, very much so. It's a wonderful place. And so we're excited to have Randy back, and that's 8 p.m. on Sunday, August 10th. Another full moon night. And then in September, we have Ernie Dogwolf Lovato. He is a flute player, musician, and storyteller, so he gets the whole audience involved. This is a great family-friendly show, and it will entertain and educate young and old alike. And that is 7:30 on Monday, September 8th. We wrap up our Full Moon Night series in October with Diana Molina. She was doing a presentation, The Footrunners of the Sierra Madre. So this is pretty exciting. She's talking about the Tarahumara in Mexico, and she will present images and stories from her time living among the Tarahumara. And that is Wednesday, October 8th at 6:30 p.m.
And people can also have weddings there. I understand there's events you can do at White Sands.
Absolutely. They have to be pretty low-key weddings because we don't have a lot of facilities, but we commonly get requests for weddings out there, and that's a beautiful setting. If you're looking to have a wedding, you do need a permit, and so some advanced planning is required. You know, contact the monument and get the information required for that, or for special events, whether they're anniversaries, weddings, birthday parties, all types of those events are great. We do have a group use area that accommodates about 25 people. It's a nice covered area with several barbecue grills out there. And that's a private setting, but reservations are required for the group use area. So it's a really nice gathering point. And we just improved the group use area a couple of years ago. We added some new, a really nice roof and some grills out there. So it's a great place for visitors to come out and enjoy the monument.
So what are some of the safety precautions there are, not just White Sands in the summertime?
That is a great question. It's been a very warm week, and it is hot out at White Sands National Monument. There are not many trees or places for shade. So we highly recommend if people want to come out and explore the trails this time of year, you do it early in the morning. We open at 7 a.m., so that's a great time to get out on the trails. You have a couple of hours before it gets really hot to get out there, enjoy the trails, and get back to your vehicle when the temperature climbs really high. So planning ahead, going out early in the morning or coming in later in the evening, about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, it still gives you a couple of hours to hike one of the shorter trails while it's cooler in the afternoon. You can come out and have picnics and sled up and down the sand dunes, but it's critical that you bring a hat, keep the sun off your head, sunglasses, sunscreen, and water. We recommend 1 gallon of water per person per day. And that's a lot of water. But the thing is, it's really dry around here, and you don't realize you're losing so much water because when you sweat, it dries right away. It's hot, the sun is relentless, so we ask people to be really prepared. Sodas and other sugary drinks do not give you the hydration you need. It's water or sports drinks like Gatorade.
And you do have a shop as you enter the monument?
Yes. Individuals can pick up some basic snacks and then water. Water, you can buy water in the gift shop. You can also buy refillable water bottles. So you can come out, buy a nice White Sands water bottle. We have a water filling station near the gift shop and visitor center, so you can go out there and fill up. So just water is really, really key, is make sure you have enough water. We've had 2 search and rescues in the last 2 weeks. And both of them were water related, and they were both individuals were really dehydrated. They were out there in the middle of the afternoon, and there's just the sun is relentless. So water is key. And remember, water for the kids, water for the pets. And kids are not as able to handle the heat. Older folks as well as younger folks, you really got to keep an eye on them because they can get heat stroke a lot faster than, you know, young, healthy people can. Cannot leave kids or pets in the vehicles. It gets way too hot. That temperature can skyrocket very quickly the minute you close the vehicle. So if you go inside to even just run in and use the restroom, make sure, take the kids out, have somebody watch the kids and the pets, and just don't leave them in the vehicle. It's really, really important.
Well, talking about restrooms, I understand there's been an effort to improve the facilities. Being that this is one of the premier attractions in New Mexico, are there still goals to improve the facilities?
There is. White Sands National Monument is the most visited National Park Service site in New Mexico, so we're really proud of the fact we do have high visitation. And the number one visitor experience is the restrooms. Everybody has to use them. Everybody experiences the restroom. And our restrooms are quite old. They were original with the visitor center that was built in 1933 to 36. So we do need to upgrade that infrastructure. And we are working on it. We're working on getting money for that project, but it looks like it's going to be out to fiscal year 16 or 17. So that's a couple years down the road, unfortunately. It is our top priority. We're working very hard to improve those restrooms, but these are tight monetary times for the federal government.
And the times that many of the parks and national monuments closed was last year that the government had to close. How did that affect White Sands?
Well, we actually had two closures this year. We had the closure in October for the federal shutdown, and then we were closed approximately 9 days for the drone crash we had in February. So both of those closures definitely impacted visitation. They impacted our revenues for collecting entrance fee from visitors, as well as the revenues from the gift shop and the bookstore. So it really had an impact. But most importantly, we were not able to share White Sands National Monument with people who traveled from the local area and from around the world. So that was really hard because we're here to invite people to White Sands, have them enjoy and recreate and really appreciate this place. So that was really hard on the staff.
Do you go out and give tours as well?
I particularly don't, but I make the schedule for the folks who do. So yes, we offer a variety of programs. Our standard program, the one that we've been offering for at least 40 years, is the Sunset Stroll. It's a great one-hour ranger-guided program, and it's always 1 hour before sunset. So right now, during the summer, until early August, August 7th, the program starts at 7 p.m., and the program starts 5 miles in the dune field. So from the visitor center, drive 5 miles down Dunes Drive, and there's a sign that says Sunset Stroll, meet here. And the one-hour ranger guided program, it's approximately a one-mile hike, and you learn about the geology, plants, animals, and the people who've inhabited the basin. So it's a great introduction to White Sands. It's a great way to learn more about this great resource we have in our backyard. And we're constantly looking for ways to improve the visitor services. And I know we mentioned the restrooms before, and we've put up some new signs recently. So if you go out to White Sands, you'll see some new wayfinding signs that help you find your way through the monument and hopefully not get lost, at least while driving down Dunes Drive. But it is always a struggle. We know these are tight financial times with the federal government, and we have a very limited budget. There's about 17 full-time employees who work at White Sands and about 10 to 15 part-time employees or seasonal employees. So we do quite a bit with a very small staff and a pretty limited budget.
Do you give volunteers as well?
We do. The volunteer corps is really important. So we have volunteer interpretive rangers who work the visitor center front desk, lead sunset strolls, help us with education programs. We also have volunteers that help out with our trail crew and maintain those trails. We get one windy day and the trails can literally blow away. And so volunteers for the trail crew, for the interpretive services, and also helping out with the resource management, some of those research projects I talked about. There's a lot of field work that goes on and is supported by interns and volunteers as well. So if folks are interested in volunteering at White Sands National Monument, we would love to have their support. They can contact the monument, ask for me, Becky Burkhart, and I will provide information on how to make that opportunity possible. So please come out and enjoy your National Monument, volunteer at White Sands, and it's a great place.
Do you get a lot of students going and volunteering as well, or is it mostly adults?
It's mostly adults, but we'd love to have students out there. We do get student interns. We do hire students during the summertime. I've got 3 or 4 NMSU students on my staff who are wonderful, great help. So we do have internship opportunities available for the students as well as volunteer opportunities. So if students are looking to expand specific skills, White Sands is a great place to go out and learn those skills.
And your website, to find out more information of ongoing events, what is that?
Our website is www.nps, as in National Park Service, .gov/WH SA. So it's a great place to go online, find our schedule of activities, find information about some of these science and research projects we've been talking about, and also for missile test closures. So it's important when you come out to White Sands, you've got to know if Highway 70 is going to be open. And if people, students, anybody is interested in learning more about and following White Sands, we have a Facebook page. So like us on Facebook. We are White Sands National Monument, managed by park rangers. So find the one managed by park rangers. That's our official Facebook site. So get online and like us on Facebook.
Now, something else that you did mention, okay, the federal budget is, there's a crunch there. Since you're not a nonprofit, but do you receive donations as well?
Absolutely. You can donate to White Sands. We work, the bookstore in the Visitor Center is operated by Western National Parks Association, or commonly called WNPA, and they are a cooperating association who support the educational interpretive activities at White Sands National Monument and at several other parks in the National Park Service. Donating to them would be a direct benefit to White Sands, so you could donate through WNPA with an earmark, this is for science, this is for trail maintenance, this is for education programs, and that would be a direct benefit to the monument. You can also donate directly to White Sands National Monument. If somebody is interested in that, they can certainly contact the monument and get more information. But donations are absolutely welcomed and very important for us.
Well, I really appreciate you coming down and telling us about White Sands National Monument, the events for this year, 2014. And since its inception, were there always events going on?
Yeah, they had the opening. There was a big opening day celebration in 1933. And so there was a lot of great events. We have great historic photos of people out there recreating throughout the decades, whether it was the big opening day celebration or military families coming back from World War II, getting out there and recreating and healing from that experience in World War II. So throughout the decades, they've always had activities, and it's always been a great place to come out and enjoy, relax, and marvel at this wonderful place.
I see that you do have quite a passion for White Sands, and thank you so much, Becky Burkhart, Chief of Interpretation for White Sands National Monument.
Well, thank you. Appreciate having me on.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.